So let's have a word of prayer as we move on in this book. Lord, thank you for these ladies that are burdened to grow. Would you honor the time that they have allotted for this time together? Would you just work in a mighty way? Give me wisdom now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've talked about key things. We talked about expanding your mind last time, and I think that was really good. We'll touch on that again here. But practicing your priorities. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The author talks about a very key day when she was 28, back in 1974, where she and her husband, after they had gotten saved and had begun to grow, sat down and set goals for their lives. And those goals for their lives really shaped who they were for the next, until, you know, all the way through here. And so she said that was really for her, other than, of course, being saved, a very, very key time. And she says it's true that the poorest of all people is not the one without gold, but the one without goals. It is true that the poorest of all people is not the one without gold, but the one without goals. Frankly, as pastor over these last few years, I think it's an epidemic problem as our generations are coming up. There is not a lot of goal setting. There's a lot of existing, and therefore a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, and a lot of temptation to get into things that we ought not get into. And so if you don't have goals, you have no specific meaning or purpose. You lack direction. And then you lack impact. Your life's not counting. And so, you know, you look at your life and you're thinking, I'm just, you know, what am I worth? Why am I here? You know, you hear those kinds of things. Well, it just gets down to not having laid out what God would have you to do. Now, if you don't know the Lord, that's understandable that you don't understand. But if you do know the Lord, it is important to have direction in your life. She says, goals give you direction, purpose, and help you know how to best use your time and energy, thus making you a woman of impact. There's not a lady here that does not want to have impact. I mean, that's, you know, you want your life to count. A number of you are in the child rearing years and you realize the important impact of these years. But in every phase of life, God wants you to have an impact with someone. And so it's important for us to lay down goals. Periodically, I'll take time and I go over priority time management. And that's always a little, you can tell, folks get a little discouraged right off the bat when I do that, because priority management starts with goal setting. If you don't have a vision and you don't have goals, you cannot set monthly, weekly, and daily priorities. So you got to know where you're going and what you are doing. So let's talk about some of the areas of life here that are laid out that do call for some very specific goals in our life. We've got to make choices that this is important, and therefore my lifestyle right now will reflect a pathway toward the goal. And so this is helpful, just breaks it down in some pretty obvious ones, but we'll look at them. Number one, spiritual. We all know that, but you've got to have goals regarding your spiritual life. This is the starting point. You cannot impact others if God is not being allowed to impact you. You've got to be healthy spiritually. And frankly, let me just say, all the other priorities will flow out of this matter of your spiritual life. Life all of a sudden makes sense. Now you know what is most important and what is not most important. God will give you wisdom. You have direction. You have a sense of relationship. All of these things are very much tied with your spiritual life. Now, we've already talked about how you're doing with your Bible reading. You know, we spent some time with that, couple months ago, I guess. And then Mornings for Moms, that's going to be gone over again in our Bible school time. And so make sure you are thoroughly reading the Word of God, and that is priority. You can't think right without God's thoughts. I preach Sunday morning. If you did not hear that, I preached on "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." They're from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and it's from the first 11 verses that gives the example of what Christ did and what he did for us and so forth. And so we need to make priority the mind of Christ. And then the Bible makes it very clear that we're to fellowship with God, which means that we are to be serious about prayer. And ladies, just let me say, I don't care what priorities you have. If you don't take a major time with God every day, you're not going to reach the other priorities. That's where the power comes from. That's where the understanding comes from. That's where the encouragement comes from. That's where the confidence comes from. And what's one of the keys to having your time with the Lord in the morning? Remember that? Going to bed, yes, on time, yes. Very practical. I remember we talked about getting up on time. Well, if you get to bed at 2 a.m., that's going to be tough. If you could have gotten to bed at 10 p.m., you say, oh, people don't do that. People are doing that all the time right now. And it's just, it's not healthy. It's not good. And so get to bed on time with the goal of getting up on time with the priority of spending time with the Lord. Now, these things we've talked about a lot, but it honestly has to be a goal. That's got to be one of those bedrock goals. And for those of you with smaller children and so forth, you need your husband's help as far as how to order the beginning of the day so that that can happen. But it can happen if you decide for it to happen. So the spiritual is very important. Now, folks, you got to be in a Bible-believing church and be involved in that, because the giftings are very key for the development of your life. I'm the pastor. I have a pastoral gift. I know that, but I need the gifts of my people. And I'm deeply as blessed as anybody else coming to church, and I'm always challenged and encouraged, and I learn something. I love to be under the teaching of others and see how God uses them in our lives. So God's central plan for this age is the local church. In fact, he says, that's my body. The church is my bride. I am the head of the church. He doesn't operate around the church. We've got a lot of people that the radio is their church or podcast is their church. That's not going to work. And we're really hurting in America today because of it. Your family is a basic unit of how God operates today, but that's not a substitute for your church. Family worship is very important, but it is not the local church. And so I'm glad she brings that up, because that is very, very important. And there is also a tendency today maybe to attend church, but not to be committed in membership to a body and to be part of that. I urge you, that commitment is vital. And then make sure you're around mature Christians. And if you've not been discipled, get discipled. We're more than glad to do that. We've got some tremendous materials. And then once you've been discipled, you want to disciple others. And it's always good to have a good mentor or two that you spend some time with that can be honest with you and help you grow. And that is a great encouragement. And you need to have goals. She doesn't mention this here, but I believe it's very important that you have goals for ministry and outreach. Because if you don't have the outflow, you can have a lot of inflow. But if you don't have the outflow, you're going to be a frustrated Christian. And if you'll take those steps to be used of the Lord, you'll be amazed what God will do for you. All right, number two is mental. Now, we talked about this last time, expanding your mind. Your mind is a terrible thing to waste. You want to strengthen your mind. And what does Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that great passage there on our lives being a living sacrifice, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, so we talk about the spiritual, but the spiritual is perceived, even though it's not just mind, we have our spirit. The doorway to our heart, obviously, is our mind in every sensory part of what we are. And so the more we know, the more we are able to think clearly, the better we are. I want to just say, the older you get, the more you want to expand your mind. We have so many older folks today that just sort of sit, and I feel so bad for them, and they have dementia, but it's amazing if they could have expanded their mind prior to that time. I'm convinced they wouldn't. We have just a good example. I was really scared when my mother-in-law broke her arm and cut her head and was in hospital and then rehab. My mother-in-law. In rehab for, I think, I don't know how many weeks it was, several weeks. While she was there, I thought, you know, she's really slipping mentally. We were concerned about it. Well, once she got back at home, and we've had a girl there about around the clock to be there to make sure she doesn't fall again and take care of her. But all of that conversation, she's sharper than she was 2 months ago. I mean, man, it's just like she's back to 60-something. And that just shows you, because she just sat there when we weren't there. And it's so sad. So that we all can relate to those situations. It's very important that we develop our minds. And so we want our mind to be developed by the Spirit of God, because the world is constantly pressing us into its mold. That's in that very same verse. Be not conformed or pressed into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm telling you, ladies, if you just sit and watch stuff and just are mindless, you're going to be totally overwhelmed by the world, because Satan has his tools to just change your thinking the wrong way. So it takes energy decision-making to turn it the other direction. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want my life to count. We talked in our last session about the importance of having good books and disciplined reading of books. Expand your mind. And I'm telling you, books that will challenge you. You know, if you want an easy book to read, read a biography of that's a well-done one. And that will just thrill your heart and stir you. Books on spiritual truth that are the right kind of books, they'll just change your whole perspective on things. It is such a help. And then learning about other things. There's things that maybe aren't quote-unquote spiritual, but everything is. And if you get a wholesome book on learning on things, expand your mind, and it will be a help. So, and what's the number one thing that you need to study? The Word of God. And how important that is. Meditation on Scripture will awaken your mind, and it will just go down to the depths of your soul. And that obviously ties to the spiritual there. But you know, let me just say this. If you're not reading books, if you aren't expanding your mind, if you aren't learning new things, do you think maybe your Scripture reading is going to be dull? Yeah. But if you're in the discipline of growing and growing and not letting the pressures of your life stop you from learning and reading and all of that, your Scripture reading is going to be you're going to be on it. You're going to be skilled to do it. In fact, you'll probably have the energy to find other books that can complement your Bible study. I mean, you'll have a much different, you'll have a place where you read, study, have your materials, be serious about it. And it will just encourage you. It doesn't take much to do that. In our bookstore, we really do try to keep these good books there, a variety of them. That can be just a place to start, because it's hard to find them, by the way. Not every Christian book is a good book. I'm telling you, a lot of them are The Power of Positive Thinking. Health, Wealth, and Prosperity. I may make somebody here mad, but don't read Joel Osteen's books. That is not biblical. And you're going to be greatly disappointed about life and have a totally wrong perspective of how God works in your life. Appreciate his heart to help people, but you've got to be biblical. So make sure that you find the right kind of books and listen to the right kind. Be careful about podcasts that you don't know anything about the speaker. because that can heavily influence you the wrong way. So find somebody that you trust. I'm always glad to help. If I don't know, I'll find out. And people will give me a book. Would you check this out? And I do. Not that I read it, but I can pretty quickly, author, publisher, read introduction, read a few of the points, and I realize, nope, this is an emphasis that'll be dangerous. You know, things are always couched to be tricky. You know, there's a lot of social justice stuff today that is actually quite humanistic. There's a lot of need for biblical social justice, but not left-leaning socialist social justice. And so you got to be very careful about which books you do look at. So it is important to expand your mind. Then the physical. Physical training is of value, as the Lord says in 1 Timothy 4:8, it profits a little. It does profit. It is important. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, it is a stewardship from God. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and your body is meant to glorify the Lord. Let me just say, when you are physically decently fit, your mind works better, and you will have much better mental development if you are physically strong. If you're physically weak, you sit down to try to read something, you go to sleep, or you are lethargic. And in fact, even your moods can be where you don't even want to bother, okay? And so, you know, this is, again, this is something I would say, but it's nice that she's saying it. So watch out for sin with your body. You hurt your body every time you use it for sin. David's physical health is talked about in Psalm 32. And because of his sin, he had some physical problems. We can probably guess what they were. Then walk in the Spirit. You know, the Spirit is perfectly healthy. And he will enable you to make spiritual healthy choices. He thinks clearly. And so he will enable you. Did you know that the Spirit of God is very interested in that you keep your body as his temple? So therefore, let him have control and make good goals. You know, we're talking about goals here, spiritual, mental, and now physical. And so it is important that we do take care of ourselves. Weigh yourself every day. She said this, I didn't, okay. If the arrow is pointing in the wrong direction, then go to the right direction by following the next few suggestions. Watch what you eat. Now, I did pretty well. My wife is very good about what I eat. However, I'm a man and I'm independent and I can eat what I want at times too, you know. Well, with what I've been through, I have been on a totally different diet. I am learning that it is good, but I'm telling you, I feel a million times better. And I've got to warn our people, I'm not losing weight because I've got any physical problems. I'm losing weight because I am eating right. It's amazing. It worked. The two go together. They really do go together. And I haven't even tried. You know, over the years I've had key ways that I've lost weight. I want to keep trying to be as steady as possible. But man, just eating, you can basically eat all you want when you eat the right kind of things, you know. It is, and you can keep that arrow pointed in the right direction. So we're to discipline our body, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So do be careful, learn things. Let me just say, don't make what you eat a spiritual matter, but it is spiritual in that you want to take care of yourself. And American eating is not the healthiest, and I think we all need it. We know that. So stay away from over amount of processed foods, fast foods, fried foods, just some basic things like that. Keep your salt content down. Those things are very obvious. There's lots of different theories on eating, but if you can eat good, wholesome things, you will feel better. Exercise regularly. Do whatever it takes to exercise. This is the right time of the year to actually walk and at least get out. That's good for you in the morning. And obviously not all year long can we do that. And I'm very thankful now. that a half hour a day on elliptical I've done for years now, and it has paid off. Boy, did it make a difference. And so I am very thankful for that. But just keep that up. You listen, a period of time of exercise will give you far more energy during the day. In fact, I can't live without it, because the only way to handle all that so often comes across my way, only way to handle it is by having that regular exercise. There's a refreshment, your body relaxes, it's stronger, it helps you obviously with your weight, and there's just so many good things. The sun in the morning, by the way, helps you sleep better at night, and there's just so many basic things. So, and let me just say this, one thing I did mention about eating, make sure that you hydrate yourself. I sound like my wife, don't I? But it is true. You know, the best energy drink you can drink is one big glass of water. I have found, I find myself wilting a little bit. Oh man, it's been a couple hours since I drank anything. And so I'll get a bottle of water or a glass of water and drink it. And man, it's just like, don't depend on caffeine. I really encourage you not to do that, because you will down the road be sorry that you did. So depend on just water and that kind of thing. So you all have your pitchers there at the, so I want you to, none of you are drinking except for one here. So, all right. Mind your stewardship. You were bought with a price. Be a steward of your body and win the battle. Don't let your body tell you what it wants to do. You tell your body what it should do. So she said it. I got to meddling there, but I'm just doing what she said. And so I'll blame her for this. But it is true. Goals, you never do anything to do better, you know, being physically fit, unless you are very, very determined. And many times it's good to have somebody else to help you on that. Well, you missed a good section there, sweetie. You would have thought I was you were teaching that part of the lesson. It was on taking care of your body. Yeah, so anyway. Yeah, I sure do. But I did most of it, not completely all of it, but anyway. All right, number four, social. Now, this does not mean party life, as she says that right in the very first sentence. It's about wholesome relationships and friendships. God made us to communicate and fellowship with others. And so we're constantly with others, but we need to allow meaningful relationships to be part of our life. What's the number one set of relationships? Family, right. If you have meaningful, growing relationships within your family, the health of that is enormous. That is the place that you want to invest yourself. If you do have family members living with you, you want to invest yourself there and to be a blessing and to have good fellowship, which means that problems have to be dealt with. And God is able. And I would not just accept that I can't improve my relationship with my husband or whoever else is in your home or your children if they still live there. No, that God wants us to be the tool that God uses. And take time to communicate. Take time to enjoy the folks in your home. The most relaxing thing you can do is just have a good family time. It is just, it's the number one way God helps fill up our social cup. And then your friends, you need to pick your friends right. Iron sharpening iron. Now remember, there are two kinds of relationships you have outside of your family. There's friendships and ministryships. I don't want to call it add the ship on the end. In other words, if it's someone who needs help that could drag you down, the only reason you're going to spend time is to do what? Meet their needs. Be very careful of just being open and needy. Remember, a friendship is when you really look forward to being with someone and they're helping you and they meet a need. Ministry is when you are excited about being with someone because you're helping them and they need you. Does that make sense? And so be careful about the wrong friendships, because it'll drag you down big time. I think sometimes ladies run into the problem, especially if their family is not meeting their need. And that's a dangerous thing, is to have outside friendships that are more important than your family. And that is a very common problem, especially today. By the way, social media is not a substitute for friendships. I don't care how much you're liked, in quotation marks. Okay? It means nothing, really, in the long run. The studies on it show it. It's so emotionally draining. And you need genuine relationships that are cause you to grow. And then there's other people, such as your workmates, if you're working, or your neighbors and strangers. You need to know how to have right relationships. Let me say, if you're on the job, do not get into the office gossip and the negative. I accidentally get into so many situations. You know, you're sitting in an office, whatever, and boy, somebody's telling about somebody else in the office. I've heard that over and over, and I'm thinking, what a miserable way to live there, you know. So you need to be the one that cares, the one that won't listen, the one that's always encouraging. And though those may not be your strongest relationships, you still have a blessing, because you're caring about them and you're concerned about what they're going through and you're trustworthy. You don't get into all that intrigue in whatever situation that you're in. And then your neighbors. We are not very good at this in our culture. Could I ask you who lives on your block and what their situations are? I find myself being, if I don't watch out, being a little isolated when I get home. But I was married to the right lady. She knows everybody on the street, so I can't help but get to know everybody. It works out quite well. And it's such a blessing to get to know these folks. And of course, winning them to Christ is the number one thing. And I'm telling you, once you get their barrier down, they really love to have somebody that cares about them and so forth. So those are all, and that'll also just encourage you if you have that. All right, well, those are the areas that she mentions that are key for goal making. And so charting a course for your life, as she goes back to the August 31, 1974 day where they set down the goals, she stuck with them. That was the key. And so exciting was she went from the goals being a blessing to her till now, her goals being lived out became a blessing to you because she wrote the book. You follow what I'm saying? Remember, everything you learn, everything you are, is for somebody else. We try to teach the students in the college in particular, you're learning not just for you, you're learning to give to the next generation. Everything should be transferred. So just winning the goals for yourself, you know what? You probably won't fulfill it. But if you're dead serious about being a testimony that's going to be a blessing to other people, and you really want to share victory, and here's how God helped me and so forth, and you have people that you're trying to be a blessing to, you'll keep those goals much easier. That's exactly what happens to a pastor. I can't fake it. I mean, I've got to be able to teach what I'm learning. And I often will mention to the church, we're on a journey together, and I want you to be on the journey that I'm on. So many things in the last 10 years that God has taught me. I want my people to know every one of those. I like them to know them quicker than I learned them. And so as you are desirous of growing, one of your goals in the back of your mind is, I want this for somebody else. Aren't you encouraged when somebody else has victory and they want to help you with it? Absolutely. And in so many different areas of life. So goals help define the purpose of your life. Goals help develop a set of priorities for your life. Goals help determine a focus for your life. Goals help drive each day of your life. And did you notice that she didn't complicate things and how she set down the goals? You'd say, well, you know, also sort of duh, you know. But the question is, are you doing those? Do you have something specific as to how it applies to you? A good serious couple hours, folks, could change your life. You know, get your goals down, what God has shown you you need to do in each of these areas, spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially, which are the four areas that Christ developed in, by the way, and that's the areas you want your children to develop in. But lay those things down and then be public about them. Put specific ways you're going to reach them, and you will have a life change. It's not complicated. And so I do encourage you to let the Lord work that way.